You know, sometimes we like to think of ourselves as being very self-sufficient. I can handle this. I can get through this. I know the answers. I know how to do it. I don't need maybe the weakness of a Christianity. Some people think they don't even need Christ. They feel like they can go through anything in life on their own and handle it themselves. Sort of the John Wayne mentality, the tough guy or the tough woman mentality. I don't need all of that sympathy. I don't need all of those other things. But I want to tell you, there come some things in your life, friend, along the way. And if they hadn't come, they will come. You're going to need more than self-sufficiency. You're going to need the Lord. You're going to need what God can give. And I'm glad I can tell you today that, number one, God can handle it. Amen. And number two, that God wants to help you out. And that He never, never, never fails. God never fails. We do. He doesn't. Turn to Deuteronomy, if you would, the 33rd chapter division. This was a time when God was encouraging the people that were going into the land. Deuteronomy 33, verses 26 and 27. And Moses, when you read in chapter 34, you discover that he's going to die. He's 120 years of age. There's going to be a major transition here, and I think God is reminding them through Moses and through the writer that God is going to take care of this time, what's going to take place here. So Deuteronomy 33, verse 26, he says, "There is none like unto the God of Jeshurun, who rideth upon the heaven in thy help, and in his excellency on the sky." You figure out who he's talking about there? I believe he's talking about God Almighty. Almighty God, eternal God, everlasting God, all-knowing, all-powerful, everywhere present God. Verse 27, the eternal God, everlasting God. God has no beginning, God has no ending. We can't fathom that, but it's true. He always has been. Don't ask me to explain that. I can't do it. But believe it, I do. Because the Bible declares that God always has been. The eternal God is thy refuge. Your refuge. And underneath are the everlasting arms. The eternal everlasting God, the everlasting God, He is our refuge. And He shall thrust out the enemy, whatever that enemy may be, from before thee, and shall say, destroy them. Israel then shall dwell in safety alone. The fountains of Jacob shall be upon a land of corn and wine. Also his heaven shall drop down dew. He's saying, God's going to be with you, and God's going to bless you. God's going to take care of those things that try to hinder you, hurt you, destroy you, stop you. Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord? The shield of thy help, and who is the sword of thy excellency? And thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places. He's simply saying to them, God is there for you, and God will give you victory over all of the circumstances you're going to face, over all of the enemies you're going to face. God can handle it. God can handle it. Now, we discover through the Scriptures that God gives strength to the weak. God gives strength and help to those that are weak, according to the Scripture. Paul said this in 2 Corinthians 12:10. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches. Notice what he's saying here. I take pleasure in infirmities? Are you kidding me, Paul? You take pleasure in infirmities, being facing those things, in reproaches, when you're reproached, in necessities, in persecutions. Paul, you take pleasure in those things, in distresses. Anybody here have any distresses today? I have an idea if we would have a testimony meeting and say, if you have a problem, just tell us one problem, stand up and tell it. And most everybody in here would be able to stand up and say, yeah, I got a little distress. I've got a problem that I'll be glad to share with you. He says, in distresses for Christ's sake, for when I am weak. Notice this, when I am weak, then am I strong. Not when I'm strong, but when I'm weak. Paul said, I thank God for all I'm going through. I thank God for being in prison. I thank God for all the beatings. I thank God for all of the physical problems I have, all of the distresses, everything that has come my way. I thank God for them. I really do, because when I'm weak, then I realize I have to depend on God. Are you facing some things today that you're rather weak in? And things that you know you cannot handle alone, things that you've got to have help, you need help, that help has to come not from the preacher, not from the deacons, not from the staff, but that help has to come from God. And God told Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. You see, we never know how great and how powerful God is until we get very, very weak. There have been times in my life where I faced some things that I thought, God, there is absolutely no way that I'll be able to handle these things. I can't do it. There's no way. Maybe it was a church problem. Maybe it was something else. But I discovered during those low valley times, and yes, preachers and Christians have them, I discovered that during those deep, low valley times that God was there. And that God had the power to help me and to bring me up, to meet every need I had during those times, and to give me victory in my life, even though I was going through those deep, dark valleys. I learned during those times that God's grace was indeed sufficient for me. And still is. And it is for you too. God's grace is sufficient for you. But you're strengthened in your weakness when you realize, I'm at the end of my rope. What am I going to do? Look up, call on God, and God's there, and God will help you, and He'll show you. He'll say, see, I told you I was the eternal God. I was your refuge. I was the one that could help you. And He'll do that. A lot of handicapped people God has used and blessed. People who've had infirmities and problems. I just think of a number of those people as I think of some of the people that are involved in history. The John Milton, who was blind. John Milton wrote Paradise Lost. And Beethoven. Well, Beethoven, believe it or not, was deaf. But some people who are really into music like Beethoven's symphonies and some of those things that he wrote. Louis Pasteur was partially paralyzed. But I'm glad God gave him a great brain and he discovered a lot of things that we need today, still need today. Thomas Edison had deafness, but think of all of the inventions that Thomas Edison came up with, and we get to enjoy those today. I sort of like this air conditioning we have. How about you? But this air conditioning we're enjoying probably goes back to him. And many of the other things that we happen to enjoy. Fanny Crosby, we're very familiar with her. She was blind through a terrible accident when she was a little girl, blind. With some of the greatest music and greatest songs we have in our hymnals were written by Fanny Crosby. And thank God for it. God used it. Mozart was poverty-stricken, and yet the music of Mozart is beautiful, beautiful music. David was weak, but God said, David, let me show you who I am. When you face that giant, I'll take care of him. Don't worry a thing about it. In your weakness, you'll discover that I am the great God that you're serving. And he knew that when he slew a bear and a lion and all of that, but he knew when he came to the giant, hey, I'm ready to take him on because God will help me in my weakness. He is my strength. I'll be honest with you, I would have never gone into ministry if I hadn't believed this. I would have never done it because I just didn't feel like I qualified or I was up to the challenge. But I knew if God said do it, that I had to do it. And so, you put up with me 18 years, a little longer. And I've been preaching for about 48 years, full-time service. and preaching when I was a kid preacher, about 16, 17 years of age. Why? Because I felt like that God's promises could be trusted and God would take care of the results, and down through the years He has. In my weakness, I've discovered that God is God. I mean, I was so bashful, I wouldn't hardly change my mind without going in the closet. I was really bashful. And to give an oral report in English class, I despise it. If I could be sick that day, I'd be sick. I think I might have lied to my mother about it a couple of times. God has forgiven me. Be careful. But we have to recognize our weaknesses and recognize God can help us. And during those times, ask God for power. Ask God for His strength. He wants to give it to you. And learn the secret of victory, and that is leaning on the Lord. Leaning on Jesus. Leaning on the Lord. Not on your circumstances, not on yourself, not on anybody else you think can bail you out. Lean on God. Now, you need to be walking with Him, and you need to be obedient to Him, but you have the right to lean on God. And I'm glad He gives His presence in every hour. Doesn't matter. God gives His presence. He is everywhere present, but He shows up with His power in every hour. Whether it's a pastor, whether it's a full-time worker, pastoral staff, they've experienced those times when they were facing things, we were facing things, maybe some potential church problems that could have really blown the lid off of the church, and God took care of it. As we got on our knees and went to God in prayer and asked for wisdom, and God took care of it, and it smoothed out, and things worked out. God took care of it. Sunday school teachers and their problems, and choir members and their problems, and missionaries and their challenges that they have, and they have many of them, and people of that nature, and sinners and their challenges. You are a sinner, and I can tell you today that God can take care of your sin question. God can take care of your guilt. God can take care of your eternal destination. God can save your never dying soul. Listen to me, your soul is going to spend somewhere, your soul and spirit, forever and forever. I mean, once we were conceived, we became a living soul at conception. And we are going to live somewhere forever and ever. How do I know that? The Bible tells me so. Well, how can I believe that? Because the Bible is right. How do I know it's right? Because I've tested it. Because the Bible is right in every category, in every way. It is right in everything that you can. Scientifically, it is right. Historically, it is right. One of the greatest signs is prophetically, it is right. Bible gives us prophecies, and hey, we're living in the days now that we're seeing some of those things that were prophesied years ago in the Bible. They're beginning to come to pass in the last days, and we're seeing those. It's the Word of God, and the Word of God tells you that Jesus took your sin on the cross of Calvary, and He can handle the sin question in your life today. And friend, you've got to be born again. You are a sinner. You will go to hell if you don't get saved. And people don't like to hear that, but I'm telling you, that's what the Bible says. There is a hell, and if you don't get saved, friend, you will die and go to hell, and you don't know when you're going to die. You say, well, I'm going to live to be... No, you don't know that. I don't know that. But see, we know that God has the answer, and God has the power and the grace and the mercy and the plan through His Son, Jesus Christ, to give you the absolute assurance that if you died today, you're going to heaven. And I'm glad for that. He will give His presence there to you. He gives joy to the sorrowing. I'm glad He does that. Psalm 30 and verse 5, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Now that's for the believer. Weeping, it's all right to cry. Jesus wept, didn't He? The Bible says, the shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. He was God in the flesh, but He cried. I think He did that to show us that He understands when we weep. And yet, He gives joy. Joy comes in the morning. And I'm glad that He can give joy to people who are going through difficulties and losses and trials and those kinds of things that we face in life. We go back to Lazarus, Mary and Martha, And boy, they were all upset. Lazarus died. They were no doubt weeping and crying. Their hearts were broken. They didn't understand it, why he would die. Jesus had been in their home. Jesus was their close friend and all of that. And they said if he had just been here, if he had come, he wouldn't have died. And yet, Jesus delayed his coming there. When he got there, he said basically these words, something like this: I delayed it on purpose so that I could show you who I really am. That I'm God and that I can raise the dead. And so he cried out, Lazarus, come forth. I'm glad he called his name. If he had just said, come forth, thousands would have come forth. But he made it personal. Lazarus, you Lazarus, come forth. Now when he got out, he's like a lot of Baptists. He still had his grave clothes on. He had to get rid of those. And some of us may still be in our mummy clothes, but we need to get out of them. But God showed, I'm able, I can handle it. He said, Mary and Martha, I could almost hear him say, now, did you learn anything from this? Did you pick up a lesson from this? Yeah, I picked up a lesson. You have all power. You're capable. You're able. And you're always on time, even if it seems to us that you're late. No, you're not. You're always on time. John, the apostles assembled together in John 20:19. The scripture says, then came Jesus. Then came Jesus. That's what makes a difference, and it'll make the difference in your life. He answers the prayers, too, of his followers. God delights in hearing our prayers. God delights in answering our prayers. Matthew 14:30. But when he saw the wind boisterous, Peter, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, long prayer. Now, that's not a time to pray very long, is it? Lord, save me. Lord, save me. Not 3 points and 3 parables and all the 3 poems. Just a simple prayer. Lord, save me. And did the Lord save him? He certainly did. Now, when he didn't have faith, he sank. But when he prayed and asked the Lord to save him, God saved him. And God was showing him that he could do that. He had the power to do that. Lord, save me. James reminds us, chapter 4 and verse 2, you have not because you ask not. God is able to answer your prayer. You can't give him any challenge too big. Now, he may say no because he doesn't want you to have it. He may not think it's the wisest and best thing for you. But I want to tell you, God can answer your prayer. He's able. There is no limit to his power. There's no limit to his sovereign working, where he can work everything here, there, yonder, wherever it may be. He can bring it all together, and all of a sudden, there's victory. Because God can do that. God's able to do that. And we need to learn to pray to him and trust him in his power. And I think all of these verses and some others like them are the verses that tell us that the average Christian probably is powerless simply because they do not pray. Why is there no victory? Why are there not more souls saved? Why do we not see more victory over the foe, the devil, in our own lives? One of the reasons is prayer. We've got to pray. We've got to go to God. We've got to know God has the power. God has the resources. God has the answer to meet your needs. And God will do that. There's the emptiness of the average Christian today that we see. They have no aim. They have no destination. They're just sort of barely creeping along, percolating along. But God says that he wants us to have life and have it more abundantly. And I believe that comes through a consistent daily prayer life. And friend, if you have a consistent daily prayer life, it's going to change your heart. It's going to change your dedication level. It's going to do something to you that nothing else can do. And you'll understand that God can help you be a victorious Christian. Then there's the waywardness of the average Christian. We have reports, and I hate to get them, of Christians that have failed. Of some member of our church that has done the wrong thing, gone into adultery, an affair, messing up their marriage, doing those kinds of things, and a lot of other things, backsliding in areas that they were having victory over, going back on those things. And I think a lot of that can be attributed to prayerlessness. We ought to pray. We ought to pray for our homes. Parents, you ought to pray for your children and grandchildren, grandparents. We ought to pray for the church. And I beg you to pray for me. Pray for me all the time. You say, "Preacher, I do. I know you need it." You're exactly right. And I won't deny that. We need prayer. Pray for the staff. Pray for the salvation of more souls. There's so many other things to pray for. And God will answer our prayers, and God's able to do it. God doesn't have to wait. He may wait. He may say, "Wait a while." He may say no. He may say yes. He may do it when He answers right away. I love it when God answers right away. I'm not too crazy about when He takes a while, but He always answers prayer. He's always going to answer your prayers. Wait a while, yes or no, but He will answer your prayer. Listen, all you got to do is have a sincere heart, go to God, understand who He is. Understand that whatever you need in your life today, whatever challenges you have right now, whatever you're facing at this very moment, whatever it may be, all you need to do is take it to the Lord in prayer. And know that God can handle that situation. You say, "Well, I don't understand why He let this happen to me or why He's letting that happen to me." Well, read Romans 8:28, and you'll know that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord, to those who are called according to His purpose. And then verse 29, He tells us why He allows these things that we don't understand, because even though it may be bad to us, it may not seem good to us, the good and the bad, He uses that to conform us to the image of His Son. You say, "Why does God let this happen to me?" Because He's conforming you to the image of His Son if you're saved. If not, He may be trying to bring you to the place where you get saved, but He is conforming you. These things that happen. And one of the things we can learn is during those times, maybe we're flat on our back, maybe we have physical difficulties and many other things that might come, but we learn to look up and learn to look to God and know that God will work this thing out to His honor and glory if we'll just commit it to Him. Just pray to Him. Turn it over to Him. The thief on the cross didn't pray a long time. He didn't have to go to some kind of classes at a church somewhere to get saved. He didn't have to go through some kind of process. All he had to do was have a broken heart, know that he didn't deserve to go to heaven, know that if he died on that cross with his sins unforgiven, he was going to die and go to hell, and he just cried out something like, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Hey, that's pretty simple. Now, he knew he was a sinner, and he knew God could meet his need, and he just said, "God, save me." And that's how everybody in here got saved, if you got saved. And that's how you're going to get saved, if you get saved. You don't have to go through a litany of a bunch of stuff. You don't have to take catechism classes. You don't have to go through all that. You just need to know, "Hey, I'm a sinner, and God has the problem solved through Jesus Christ. And if I call on Him and believe, I can be saved and know I'm going to heaven when I die." And just go to the Lord in prayer and say, "God, I'm a sinner. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Save my soul. I trust You as my Savior." And He's bound to keep His word. "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Not later on someday and all of that. Not partially, not maybe so, but totally, completely, right then, instantaneously, be saved. And that's what the thief did. He knew God had the answer to his problem. Like we were singing, "I don't know who holds tomorrow. But I can tell you this, I know who holds my hand. And my God is a refuge. And He is exactly like this verse said He is. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And He shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them." God is an eternal God. He is our refuge. He has all power. Bring your burdens to the Lord today. Bring your challenges to the Lord today. And if you're not saved, come to Him. And I promise you, if you're sincere, He will save your soul. He's already had His Son pay the price. You just need to take the gift. Let's stand, please. Just when you need Him most, Jesus is there. Our heads are bowed a moment. Sinner friend, Jesus is there for you today. Ma'am, sir, a couple, you, a boy, a girl in here. Do you know you're saved? If not, you say, no, I really don't know. God has the answer if you'll come to Him. He's just what you need. Just when I need Him most, Jesus is near. Would you come and receive Him as Savior? Christian, you have burdens, bring them to the Lord today. Maybe God is leading you to join our church. We invite you to do that. Just come forward. And we'll handle it from there, or for believers' baptism. If you've been saved somewhere else, you need to follow the Lord in believers' baptism. This is your invitation, God. You're able to handle it. We leave it in your hands. May your will be done in Jesus' name. Amen.